This is Movies for the Blind, Episode 1,
Episode 19,
Episode 94, 141, 206, 216.
Whoa, Mew, you kicking Mew, whoa, Mew, I say.
Haven't you heard? I'm a metal case.
It's the neighborhood.
Well, you needn't be so snippy about it.
A man's gotta be cold-blooded. It makes you efficient.
Carry on, Bertha.
I'm trying to decide whether to put a black widow spider in his pajamas or cyanide lumps in his mashed potatoes.
Does that sound convincing?
Yes, I hate you.
You want me to have willpower?
If that boy comes back here with his head blown to bits by a musket, don't look to me to put it together again.
Haven't had a dull moment so far.
A little stealing, they get you in jail sooner or later. But a big stealing, then makes you emperor and puts you in the Hall of Fame when you croak.
Let Cleveland be nervous.
It's hard for a doctor to make promises. We can only do our best.
People didn't come here very often.
Here comes the dawn of a new day, Flags, and I shouldn't be surprised if it were a fairly uncomfortable one.
Yes, sir.
And I'll have Granny womp up a mess of grits and hog jowl.
Aren't you going to ask me to sit down?
I think this camp is going to be the means of your finding yourself.
Go on, I ain't even lost.
What makes somebody like you become a tramp?
Stop it, stop the clock.
You use such lovely big words. I like big words. What does it mean?
Well, if I'm not dead, you'll find me where I always am, in jail.
Without the law, a man's no better than dirt.
Thanks for the buggy ride.
How can a woman fight as long as she's in love?
Maybe you'd like me to take a whack at some guy for you.
Oh, no.
I saw Star Wars. They have little spaceships with red lights and blinking green lights, and they have this big fight here.
Do not deny him the comfort of an honest confession.
Malignant demons who issue forth from their graves in the dead of night to attack their victims and drink the blood from their veins.
What have you been doing all day? Reading funny papers?
Can you look yourself squarely in the eye and say, I am a fish?
This is Movies for the Blind, Episode 300. His Girl Friday, Part 2 of 2.
I'm no suburban bridge player, I'm a newspaper man.
Hi, and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. Well, here we are, episode 300, our final episode. At least until something comes up and I have a ton of time and I don't know what. We're continuing His Girl Friday with one of the great strong female characters of all time, Hildy Johnson, a role model for female journalists ever since. It's hard to imagine anyone but the great Rosalind Russell playing her, but Howard Hawks had been turned down by pretty much every other big actress in Hollywood before getting to her. She found that out reading a New York Times article on her way to the set. Awkward. When the first days of filming were a little tense, she point blank told Hawks, "You don't want me, do you? Well, you're stuck with me, so you might as well make the most of it." They both did. And Russell would go on to make her mark on two more iconic roles, Mama Rose in Gypsy and Auntie Mame in Mame. Her Hildy is currently juggling her desire to settle down into married life with straight arrow Bruce Baldwin and her need to continue her journalism career just a little longer on the story of a convicted murderer condemned to hang the next day. Her editor and ex-husband, Walter Burns, is using every trick in the book, and some not in the book, to hang on to her professionally and personally. But it's the condemned man, Earl Williams' escape from custody, that really has her running after the story. Literally, as we head for the conclusion of His Girl Friday. A hand cranks a siren as police cars and motorcycles speed out of an open gate. Police on foot carry rifles, and the gate is closed behind a last car. On a sidewalk nearby.
Hey, Cody! Hey!
Hildy tries to run across the street, but has to stop as police traffic flies past her on both sides. She gets through it, while Cooley runs around a corner and away. Hildy runs around more speeding traffic to chase Cooley down a sidewalk. She catches up to where he's just out of reach. As he glances behind her, she jumps and tackles his legs, bringing him down. She holds him down.
Cooley! I want to talk to you.
In the press room, phones ring and cigarettes burn in ashtrays alone. A reporter runs in and grabs a phone.
This is Endicott. Give me a rewrite.
He picks up another.
He ain't here. Hello, Gil. Here's the situation now. You ready? Williams was taken over to the sheriff's private office to be examined by this Professor Egelhofer. And in a few minutes, he shot his way out. No, nobody knows where he got the gun. He went upstairs to the infirmary and got out through the skylight. He must have slid down the rain pipe to the street.
Murphy slides into another phone.
Well, if they do, they won't talk.
Hello, sweetheart, give me the desk.
Crime Commission offers $10,000 reward for William.
Murphy talking.
Yeah.
No clue yet as to William's whereabouts.
Okay.
No.
Endicott hangs up and runs out.
Oh, there's been an accident about a tear bomb. Yeah, tear bomb. Criminals cry for it.
With a paper, Pete enters with another guy.
Went off unexpectedly in the hands of Sheriff Hartwell's bombing squad.
What went off?
The following deputies will rush to the hospital.
A fine friend you are.
Their names are Mervyn D. Wilkerson, the mayor's brother-in-law.
After all I've done for you.
Howard Schuster, the sheriff's uncle, on his mother's side.
Hello, Jim. Sidelights on Sheriff Hartwell's manhunt.
William Mansfield, the sheriff's landlord, and Lester Winthrop, who married the sheriff's niece. You remember, the very homely dame.
All right, you're right.
On another phone.
Mrs. William Rice, age 55, scrub lady, while scrubbing the 8th floor of the Commerce Building, was shot in the left leg by one of Sheriff Hartwell's deputies.
Look, I'm not...
There goes another scrub lady!
Murphy runs out as McHugh runs into a phone.
Call you back.
McHugh speaking. Give me the desk.
Hey, Mac. Any dope on how he escaped?
Maybe the sheriff let him out so Williams could vote for him.
Pete stalks out.
Man answering the description of Earl Williams was seen boarding a southbound. Call you back.
Both men run out, bumping into Hildy.
You're gone.
I thought so, too.
Dropping her hat, she phones.
Get me Walter Burns, quick.
She sets down the phone, runs to shut the door, and goes back to sit.
Walter, listen. I've got the whole story on how Williams got that gun and escaped, and I got it exclusive. Yeah, that's right, and it's a pip. It cost me $450 to tear it out of Cooley.
Never mind that. What's the story?
Well, just a minute and I'll give you the story. But I'm telling you, first I had to give him all the money I had on me, and it wasn't exactly mine. Well, it's Bruce's money, and I want it back.
Bruce's money?
Walter smirks.
Sure. You'll get it. Now, what's the story? I'll send the money right down to you. I swear it on my mother's grave.
All right, here's the... Wait a minute. Your mother's alive.
My grandmother's grave. Don't be technical, Hilly. What's the story?
Well, you get that money down here. All right, here's your story. It's the jailbreak of your dreams. It seems this expert, Dr. Egelhofer, the profound thinker from New York, was giving Williams a final sanity test in the sheriff's office. You know, sticking a lot of pins in him so that he could get his reflexes. Well, he decided to reenact the crime exactly as it's taking place in order to study Williams's powers of coordination. Well, I'm coming to it. Of course, he had to have a gun to reenact the crime with, and who do you suppose supplied it? Peter B. Hartwell. B for brains.
No kidding.
I tell you, I'm not kidding. I'm not good enough to make this one up. Well, the sheriff gave his gun to the professor, and the professor gave it to Earl, and Earl shot the professor right in the classified ads. No ads. Ain't it perfect? If the sheriff had unrolled a red carpet and loaned Williams an umbrella, it couldn't have been more ideal. Who? Oh, no. Egelhofer wasn't badly hurt. They took him to the county hospital where they're awfully afraid he'll recover.
Oh, that's great work, Hildy. Huh? Oh, stop worrying about the money. I'll see you get it in 15 minutes.
Well, I better get it in 15 minutes. Bruce is downstairs waiting in a taxi cab for me, and we're in a hurry.
Hold on a minute. Hey, Benji.
He turns to a blonde with Louie.
There's a guy waiting in a taxi in front of the criminal courts building. His name is Bruce Baldwin.
What does he look like?
He looks like that fellow in the movies, Ralph Bellamy.
Oh, him?
Can you handle it?
I've never flopped on you yet, have I?
Well, come on, get going. You only got about 2 minutes. Hurry.
She leaves.
Yes, dear. Well, I'm sorry to keep you waiting. How much was it again? $450? Well, just a second.
He turns to Louie, covering the phone.
I need $450 worth of counterfeit money.
You can't carry that much, boss.
No, just the $450 counterfeit. Where can I get it?
Oh, I got that on me.
Oh, God, a coincidence. Well, take it over to Hildy.
He leaves.
Oh, it's coming right over. Yeah, I'm sending it over with Louie. Well, thanks for your story, dear, and good luck on your honeymoon.
No, never mind the thanks. Just see that money gets here.
She hangs up and stands as McHugh returns.
Oh, Hildy, you still here?
No, I'm in Niagara Falls.
McHugh speaking.
On the phone.
Emo, I got a good feature for you on the manhunt. Ready? Mrs. Phoebe DeWolfe, 61 and a half South State Street, colored, gave birth to a Pickaninny patrol wagon with Sheriff Hartwell's special rifle squad acting as nurses. Well, Phoebe was walking along the street when... That's right, yeah. So they coaxed her into the patrol wagon and started a race with the start. When the Pickaninny was born, the rifle squad examined him carefully to see if it was Earl Williams. Well, they knew he's hiding somewhere.
Yeah, here's the payoff.
Smiling, Hildy goes to another phone.
Peter Hartwell DeWolfe, and I'm the sheriff. Yeah, they all chip in.
Bruce, I thought you were downstairs.
First kid ever born on a manhunt.
What?
Here's another feature.
Arrested again? What for this time?
Oh, well, they called it mashing.
The blonde stands nearby.
No, I didn't, Hildy. I was sitting right in the taxi where you left me, and the young lady seemed to have a dizzy spell, and I just... Huh? Well, she's kind of... Huh? Yes, she's a blonde. Yes, very blonde.
Never mind, I know how it happened. Just a minute.
She puts down the phone and goes to another.
Get me Walter Burns, Hildy Johns.
She goes to the first phone.
Bruce, where are you? 27 Precinct, hold on a minute, will you?
She goes to the second phone.
Walter, you... Well, it was there a minute ago. But I...
I'm sorry, can't locate him.
To the first phone.
Double crossing. Hello. No, not you. Bruce, I can't get there right away. But about 20 minutes. Well, you see, I have to wait here for the... I'll tell you when I see you.
She hangs up.
Oh, if I ever get my two hands again...
Another reporter comes in as McHugh turns to her.
Anything I can do to help you?
How much money have you got on him?
Sorry. 64 cents. Welcome to it.
Thanks. You better buy an annuity.
She checks her watch.
What's that, Emo? No, I can't give you an official statement. No. Wait a minute. Here's the mayor. Maybe he'll give us one. How about a statement, Mayor?
Don't pester me now, please. I've got a lot on my mind.
His Honor won't say anything.
McHugh hangs up.
Sheriff Hartwell.
It's hard to tell, Your Honor. You see, there's so many cockroaches around here.
Murphy arrives.
Oh, wait a minute. How about a statement, Your Honor?
Sure, we go to press in 20 minutes.
I can't help that. I've nothing to say. Not at this time.
Just a moment, please. What do you know about the escape?
How'd he get out?
Where'd he get the gun?
Wait a minute, boys. Not so fast.
Well, give us a statement on the election, then.
What effect will all this have on the voters?
None whatsoever. How can an unavoidable misfortune like this have any influence on the upright citizens of our fair city?
Well, Mr. Mayor, please, is there a red menace or ain't there?
How did Williams get out of that rubber jail of yours?
Are you going to stand the gaff? We picked out somebody to be responsible. Is there any truth in the report that you're on Stalin's payroll?
Yeah, the senator claims you sleep in red underwear.
Pete approaches, waving away a delivery man who leaves as Pete spotted.
Hey, Hartwell, I want to see you.
How'd he get away? Come on, tell
me. Where'd he get the gun?
Endicott returns.
Hi, Your Honor. Any statement on the Red Uprising tomorrow?
What Red Uprising?
There'll be no Red Uprising.
The governor says the situation calls for the militia.
He's on the phone.
You can quote me as saying anything the governor says, the tissue of lies.
Yes.
Hello, Jake. Here's a red-hot statement from the governor. He claims the mayor and the sheriff have shown themselves to be a couple of eight-year-olds playing with fire. Yeah. You can quote him as follows.
He reads.
It is a lucky thing for the city that next Tuesday is election day, as the citizens will thus be saved the expense of impeaching the mayor and the sheriff. That's all. I'll call you back. Nice to have seen you, Mayor.
He leaves.
Excuse me, boys. I've got so much...
Wait. What's stalling, Pinky?
Who engineered this?
Was it the Reds?
No.
Who was it, you?
Me? No. Just a minute and I'll tell you. I've got him located.
Who, Williams?
Where?
Where is he?
Out on Center Street where he used to live. I just got a tip.
Well, why didn't you say so?
The rifle squad's just going out.
Oh, it's me.
The three men run out.
Please.
Hey, I want to...
Fred, look,
Pete and the mayor leave the room and head through the halls.
Pete, you're through.
Through? You mean I'm through?
I mean I'm scratching your name off of the ticket next Tuesday and I'm running Sherman in your place.
They go into an office.
Williams isn't a red and you know it.
But there are a lot of communistic sympathizers around and I thought that if I got a slogan like that I could...
I know it, but that's got nothing to do with this case. Do you realize there are 200,000 votes at stake and if Earl Williams don't hang, we're going to lose him?
We're going to hang him. Come in. He can't get away.
A stocky man with a bowler hat and a mustache enters.
What do you want?
What do you want?
Are you Sheriff Hartwell?
I'm here. What is it?
You're a hard man to find, Sheriff. I have a message here from the governor.
What's from the governor?
It was a reprieve for Earl Williams.
For who?
Earl Williams' reprieve.
And you said there wasn't going to be a reprieve.
He reads it.
It frightens me to think of what I'd like to do to you. Who else were there when he gave you this?
Nobody. He was out fishing.
Get the governor on the phone.
No, he's not there. He's out duck shooting.
What a red hat. Fishing, duck shooting. A guy who's done nothing for the last 40 years but play pinochle, gets elected governor, and right away he thinks he's a Tarzan.
Read that. Insane, he says. Why, he knows very well Williams isn't insane.
Well, I never met the man.
Pure politics.
It's an attempt to ruin us.
Dementia prick.
Fred, we've got to think fast. What are we going to tell
reporters? Tell them the party's through in this state on account of you.
Oh, Fred.
And as an afterthought, tell him I want your resignation now.
Pete answers.
Hello? Yes? Yes, this is Hartwell. What? Where? Where? Holy moly, hold the wire! They've got him. They've got Williams. They got him surrounded. The rifle squad have out of his house.
Hold
the wire.
Cover up that transmitter.
Cover up them.
He covers the phone.
Now listen. You never arrived with this.
Yes, I did. Don't you remember?
Wait a minute.
I came through that door and
how much
I thought
money
he
you
was
make?
Sheriff Harp. I mean, you, huh?
What's your salary?
$40.
No, don't cut me off.
How'd you like to make $350 a month? That's almost $100 a week.
No, I couldn't afford that. Who, me?
Well, who do you think? Now, they need a fella like you in the city sealer's office.
In the what?
City sealers.
You mean I should work in the...
No, wait a minute. I'm in conference.
No, my wife wouldn't want me to do that.
Why not?
Well, you see, my wife lives in the country with my family.
That's all right. You can bring her in here. We'll pay all the expenses.
No, I don't think
so. For heaven's sakes, why not?
Well, I got two kids going to school, and if they change towns, they'll lose a grade. They're not...
No, they won't. They'll skip a grade. And I'll guarantee you that they'll graduate with highest...
Hold your horses. Also, hurry up, Fred.
Now, what do you say?
No, it puts me in a kind of peculiar hole.
No, it doesn't. Now, remember, you never delivered this.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. You got caught in the traffic or something.
No, I came around...
Well, pretend you did. Now, get out of here, and don't let anybody see
you.
The mayor escorts the man to the door.
Well, I know that...
Come in and see me in my office tomorrow. What's your name?
Pettibone. What's yours?
Pettibone?
Not really.
No. Now, all you've got to do is to lay low and keep your mouth shut.
Well, I'm tired anyhow.
Here, go to this address. Nice home.
He gives him a card.
Now, take good care of you. Just tell him Fred sent you. Here's $50 on account.
Will you wait, Olson? I'll tell you in 1 minute.
Oh, you forgot to tell me what a city
I'll
sealer
explain
does.
It all tomorrow.
Is it hard?
No, easy, very easy.
Well, that's good, because my health isn't what my wife...
Well, we'll fix that, too.
My wife?
Yeah, fix anything. Go ahead.
Pettibone leaves.
Fred, they're still on the phone.
All right. Tell them to shoot to kill.
What?
You heard what I said.
But the reprieve, Fred, if they...
Go ahead, do as I tell you.
All right, hello, Olson. Shoot to kill. That's the orders. Pass the word along.
$500 reward.
$500 to the man who does it. All right, I'll be right over.
Louis approaches the press room.
Hi, Hildy.
You double-crossing hyena.
What's
I'd like to take
you... What's the
matter,
Hildy?
Don't give me that innocent stuff. What did you pull on Mr. Baldwin this time?
Who, me?
Yes, you and that albino of yours.
You talking about Evangeline?
None other.
She ain't no albino.
She'll do the one comes
she
along.
She was born right here in this country.
If she tries anything else, you'll have to stay right here in
the
country. And you too, and it won't be on a phony charge either. Did you bring that money?
Oh, yeah. $400.
$450.
All right, you can't blame a guy for trying.
He gives it to her.
Yeah, you better give me a receipt.
I'll give you a scar.
I got plenty of them.
Oh, and I'll take Mr. Baldwin's wallet, too.
Mr. Baldwin's what?
His purse. Come on, Louis.
All right, Hildy. I'll do it for you, because I like you.
She takes
but
it.
You better tell that financier to be more careful in these hard times.
She goes to get her coat and suitcase.
I'll loan him a pair of your brass knuckles, too.
Now, don't talk that way, Hildy. Here, I'll take that. I'll take it to the station.
He takes the case.
Wait a minute. You'll take it over to the station, all right? You'll take it to the 27th precinct and tell the cops how this all happened.
I couldn't do that, Hildy. Boys would have me in Alcatraz in an hour.
That's not a bad idea.
He tosses it to her and runs off. She goes back to the table, putting down her stuff. She slips the wallet under her purse and picks up her hat, but checks her watch. She drops the hat and picks up a phone.
Hello, operator. Hildy Johnson, will you get me...
Earl's come in through a window.
Drop that phone.
Never mind.
She hangs up as he aims the gun at her.
You're not going to tell anybody where I am.
He steps toward her with wide eyes, breathing heavily.
Put that gun down, Earl.
He stands across the table from her.
You don't want to shoot me, Earl. I'm your friend, remember? I'm going to write the story on your production for use.
Oh, yes. That's right. Production for use.
You don't want to hurt your friend.
Don't move. Maybe you're my friend and maybe you're not. But don't come any near. You can't trust anybody in this crazy world.
I don't blame her.
She slowly reaches to pick up the phone.
Don't trust anybody either.
Don't do that. Put it back.
She does.
You know, if you try any tricks, I'll shoot you. I can do it right from here.
Sure you could, Earl. You don't want to do that. You don't want to kill anybody.
No, you're right. I don't want to kill anybody.
That's what I thought.
Wait a minute. Where are you going?
I was just going to close the door so nobody'd see you.
No, you weren't. You were going to get somebody. But I don't want that. All I want is to be left alone.
I won't get anybody.
Yes, you will. You'll get them after me again. I won't let you do that.
He spins through a rolled shade and fires wildly. Oh. Hildy grabs his gun hand.
I guess I fired all the shells.
And takes the gun, putting it down.
I'm awful tired. Earl, I couldn't go through.
Earl, that shot fell over your ear.
I don't care.
She shuts the door.
I'm not afraid to die.
She locks it.
I was telling the fellow that when he handed me the gun.
Be quiet.
She pulls the shade on the stairway window.
Talking to me about things they don't understand.
Shut up.
I wish they'd take me back if they hang me.
They will if you don't keep quiet.
She closes windows and pulls down shades.
A day like this.
Maybe you think I could.
She grabs a phone.
Give me Walter Burns, quick. Tell him I need him.
She goes to the other one.
Hello. Oh, but Bruce, please. I know I said to be down 20 minutes, but something terrific has happened. Hold on.
She goes back and forth.
Hildy, come over here right away. Wait, Bruce, just a second. I'll explain everything. Walter, get this. I've got Earl Williams here. Yeah, right in the press room. Honest, on the level. Hurry, I need you. Right. Bruce, the biggest thing in the world has happened. I've captured Earl Williams. You know, the murderer. Stay down there, Earl. Wait a minute. Listen, Bruce, I'll be down. But just as soon as I hand him over the paper, I'll be right down. Oh, Bruce, I can't. Bruce, don't you realize it's too far?
She hangs up and runs to the door.
Who is it?
It's me, Molly Malloy. Open the door.
She turns off the lights and lets her in.
What do you want, Molly?
I gotta find... Where is everybody?
They're not here. They've all gone.
Oh, please tell me where they've gone. Please tell me.
Molly, I don't know. And I'm awfully busy. Am I running wrong?
Oh, look. They got him surrounded. They're going to shoot him down like a dog.
They're looking for you, too. If you're smart, you'll get out of here.
I don't care. You've got to tell me. You've got to. I ain't afraid
of
them.
All right, Molly, I'll tell you where they are. They're down at Center Street. Center and Fourth.
Oh, that's where he used to...
Molly, don't go.
Oh, come in, Molly. Draw up a chair.
She runs to him, and Hildy shuts the door.
Hello, Molly.
How did you get in here?
Down the pipe. I didn't mean to shoot him. Really, I didn't.
Shh. Be quiet.
You believe me, don't you, Molly?
Sure, I believe you.
Thanks for the roses. They were beautiful.
Sir, Mr. Williams.
Molly sobs into her hands.
Don't.
And Hildy hurries to her.
Don't worry.
Be quiet.
I want to get him out of here.
Crazy. You wouldn't get halfway down that hall without being seen.
But they'll find
him. I know it. I'm trying to think before those reporters come in.
Let him take me. What difference does it make?
Well, I'll never let him.
Hey, who locked the door?
Earl backs away from Molly.
Oh, how did you land? No, it isn't. Earl, get in this desk.
Oh, what?
Come on, get in.
She and Molly help Earl curl up on a roll-top desk, then close it over him.
Bye.
Right, Hildy moves a chair in front of it and gets Molly to sit.
All right, I'm coming.
She turns on the lights, unlocks the door, and opens.
Oh, what are you trying to do, kick the building
You're getting
down?
Kind of exclusive, ain't you? After all, we got some phone calls to make.
Hey, what's she doing up
here? Run down and get some smelling salts, will
you? What's the matter?
The two guys go to Molly.
Came up here and had hysterics. I'm pretty sick.
How do you feel, kid?
I don't feel so good.
You get some water?
I'll get it.
Do anything for you?
No.
No, you don't look so sick to me.
You didn't bump into Williams, did you?
Ain't you funny?
Yeah, where is he?
Let me alone, will you?
Okay, give me the desk.
Both guys get on phones.
Hello, Jim. Yeah, it's false alarm. They surrounded the house all right, but they forgot to tell Williams, and he wasn't there.
Some Halloween going on outside. The whole police force standing on its ear. Oh, hello, Hildy. I thought you were gone.
Murphy and McHugh arrive.
What a chase. Give me...
Endicott walks in, hands in pockets.
Okay,
any news, boys?
Yeah. I never been so tired in my life.
What? Where? Melrose Station? Huh? All right, connect me. Hello, Molly. How are you? Hold it a minute. Hey, fellas, this looks good.
Yeah, call you back.
An old lady just called Detective Bureau and claims Williams is hiding under her piazza.
Tell her to stand up.
Well, we looked every other place.
Did you want to go out on it?
I have to stick around. I'll cover this in for you.
I spent $1.40 on taxi cabs already.
Let's not do any more going out.
Never mind, Sarge. Tear it up.
Say, who pulled the shades down?
I did. They were throwing those lights around.
Murphy pulls a shade up and opens a window. He looks down through it.
You know, I got a hunch Williams ain't anywhere they've been looking for him. He might be right here in this building somewhere.
Sure. Hanging around like a duck in a shooting gallery.
There's that skylight to get out of, but how did he reach the ground?
I'm pretending there ain't any air over there.
Jump over to this roof. It's only about 4 feet.
Yeah, once he got to the roof, he could slide down a drainpipe.
And come in any one of these windows on this side.
Of course, if the story's gonna walk right in the window.
The mastermind's at work. Why don't you boys go home? Maybe Williams will come and call on you.
Wouldn't it be funny if he's in this building somewhere?
Well, why not search the building? Everybody take a floor.
Oh, no, I'm not gonna wander all over this place.
A great bunch of reporters you are. The biggest story in 2 years, and you're all too lazy to go out.
Say, Hildy, if I know you, you seem pretty anxious to get rid of us. You trying to scoop us or something?
Yeah, what are you, crazy, on my own time?
Molly's been giving her the story on how Williams got the gun.
Yeah, did you smuggle that gun into Williams, Molly?
Oh, no, I didn't do nothing.
A stately older woman walks in.
She said, Will? Mrs. Baldwin. Mother.
Don't you mother me. Playing cat and mouse with my poor boy. Keeping him locked up. Making us miss two trains, and you're supposed to be married tomorrow.
I'll be with you in 5 minutes.
You don't have to go with me at all. Just give me Bruce's money. You can stay here forever, as far as I'm concerned. You and that murderer you caught.
What's that? What did you say?
Which one of these men is it? They all look like murderers to me.
Wait a minute, Hildy. What murder did you catch?
What are you talking about? I never said any such thing.
Molly looks on nervously.
Son, and he has never lied to me.
Somebody's
lying. That's ridiculous in the first place. No, I never said anything like that.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. I said I was trying to find the murderer.
Come on,
no,
quit stalling.
Got it all balled up, can't you?
Her colleagues surround her.
Nobody. Now let me go, Williams. I don't know where he is.
Please. Stop it! Stop it!
Molly jumps up.
What are you asking her for? She don't know where he is. I'm the only one that knows.
Where is Williams?
Try and find out.
Come on, Molly, talk.
Talk? Now you want me to talk?
Sure.
Oh, ain't that funny? You wouldn't listen to me before, not even for a minute. And now you want me to talk.
Don't tell him anything, Molly.
Let me alone. I know what I'm doing.
Stay out of this, Hildy.
Why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't
you? Come on, cut that out.
You keep
your
hands
off me. Where is he?
What do you want to know for? So you can write some more lies, so you can sell some more paper.
Never mind, Dad.
All right. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a story. I'll give you a wonderful story. Only this time it'll be true. You'll never find him.
She runs out a window. Walter and Louie arrive.
Get an ambulance, somebody.
The reporters look down from the window at people tending to Molly.
She's dead.
No, she isn't killed. She's moving.
They run out of the room as Walter goes to Hildy at the window.
Charlie, didn't you see that?
Where is he?
She jumped out the window.
I know that. Where is he?
Anyway,
I said.
She isn't dead.
Come to Hildy. Where have you got Williams?
He's in the desk. Huh?
Walter goes to the desk and opens it.
How are you doing?
Let me out. I can't stand it.
Keep quiet. You're sitting pretty.
He shuts it.
What's in there?
Who are you?
What are you doing?
Who is she?
This is Mrs. Baldwin, Bruce's mother.
What are you doing?
Shut up.
I won't shut up. You're doing something wrong.
Mother, please.
Take her out of here.
What? Wait a minute, Walter.
Quiet. Louis.
Yes, boy.
Take the lady over to Pollock Mike's.
My name's Louis Peluso.
He hauls her over his shoulder.
Lock her up. See if she doesn't talk to anyone.
Walter, you can't do this.
What'll I tell him?
Tell him it's a case of DT.
Don't worry, Mother. This is only temporary.
He carries her out and Walter holds Hildy's arm.
Where do you think you're going?
I'm going after Mother, and I'm going to get Bruce out of jail. Walter, why did you have to do this to me?
Yeah, let's go.
Get Bruce out of jail? How can you worry about a man who's resting in a nice, quiet police station? Well, this is going on, Hildy. This is war. You can't desert me
oh,
now.
Walter, will you get off that trapeze? You've got your story right over there on the desk. Go on, smear it all over the front page. Earl Williams captured by the Morning Post.
I covered your story for you, and I got in a fine mess doing it. Now I'm getting out.
She grabs her hat and coat.
What do you mean?
I said.
There are 365 days in a year one can get mad. How many times you got a murderer locked up in a desk? Once in a lifetime. Hillary, you got the whole city by the seat of the pants.
Sure, I know.
You know. You got the brain of a pancake. This isn't just a story you're covering. It's a revolution. This is the greatest yarn in journalism since Livingston discovered Stanley.
It's the other way around.
Oh, well, don't get technical at a time like this. Do you realize what you've done, honey? You've taken a city that's been graft-ridden for 40 years under the same old gang. And with this yarn, you're kicking him out. You're giving us a chance to have the same kind of government New York's having under the Guardia. Listen, honey, if I didn't have your best interest at heart, you think I'd waste my time arguing with you? You've done something big, Hilda. You stepped up into a new class.
Huh?
We'll make such monkeys out of those ward healers next Tuesday, nobody will vote for them, not even their wives.
Expose them, eh?
Certainly. We'll crucify that mob. We'll keep Williams undercover until morning so the Post can break the story exclusive. Then we let the governor in on the capture. Share the glory with him.
I get it.
You kicked over the whole city hall like an apricot. You got the mayor and Hartwell backed up against the wall. You put one administration out and another one in. This isn't just a newspaper story, Hildy. It's a career. And you stand there bellyaching about whether you catch an 8 o'clock train or a 9 o'clock train.
Well, I never figured it that way.
You're still a doll-faced hick, that's why.
Gee, he'd be the white-haired boy.
Sure, there'll be naming streets after you. Hildy Johnson Street. There'll be statues of you in the park. The movies will be after you. The radio. By tomorrow morning, I'll bet you there's a Hildy Johnson cigar. I can see the billboards now. It says, light up with Hildy Johnson.
Oh, well, will you stop that acting?
Huh?
We got a lot to do.
Oh, you're talking.
We can't leave Williams in here.
We'll take him over to my private office. Which is our phone?
That one I'm in.
He goes to it.
How are you going
to
take him? You'll see him.
Not if he's inside the desk. We'll carry the desk over. Hello.
You can't move that desk. It's crawling with cops outside.
All right, we're lowering out the window with pulleys. Now quit stalling. Get the typewriter over here.
She grabs the typewriter and hauls it to the table.
All the words you got. Hello, give me Duffy.
Walter.
What?
Can I call the mayor of Bird of Prey?
Call him anything you like.
How about the time he had his house painted by the fire department?
Give him the word.
She rolls in some paper and types.
Set. We got the biggest story in years. Earl Williams captured by the Morning Post exclusive. Yeah. And I want you to tear out the whole front page. That's what I said, the whole front page out. But never mind the European war. We got something a whole lot bigger than that. Hildy Johnson's right in the lead. I'll give it to you as soon as she's finished. And listen, Duffy, get hold of Butch O'Connor. Tell him to come up here right away with half a dozen of his wrestlers.
Bruce creeps into the room.
What? Well, I got a desk I want to move. Never mind what.
Hildy.
What the deuce do you want?
Oh, hello, Bruce.
Hildy.
No, never mind the Chinese earthquake, for heaven's sake.
Hildy, I just want to ask you one question.
Bruce, how did you get out of jail?
Well, not through any help
of
yours.
Now, listen, buddy, you can't come in
here.
We're
busy. I had to wire Albany for $100 so I could get out on bail.
Look, I don't care if there's a million dead.
I don't know what they're going to think up there in Albany. They had to send the money to the police station.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Hildy, come on. We're waiting for that story.
We'll explain everything to them, Bruce.
Well, where's Mother? She said she was coming up here.
She left.
No, I can't hear you, Duffy.
Where'd she go?
Out someplace.
No, junk the Polish corridor.
Hildy, tell me where my mother was going.
She couldn't say.
Oh, never mind that. This is more important.
Did she get the money from you?
No. She left in a hurry.
I'll take that money, Hildy.
All right, Bruce, right there in my purse.
I decided I can handle things around here, and I'll take that certified check, too.
I'll give it to you, Bruce. Here's the tickets, and you'll find your money in the wallet.
My wallet? Yeah. This is my wallet. Say.
Walter sets down the phone and looks at the money.
Hill, what are you doing?
Just wanted to look at it.
He picks up the phone again.
Hildy, I'm taking the 9 o'clock train.
Sure, oh, what's that? Sure.
Did you hear what I said? I said I'm taking the 9 o'clock train.
Oh, Bruce, I put it in here.
She pulls the paper from the typewriter.
Let her alone, will you, buddy?
He takes the paper. She rolls in another.
I want you to answer me one question.
Something on it.
You don't want to come with me.
I need that.
She takes the page back.
Well, you don't, do you?
No. Take all those Miss America pictures off page six.
Billy, tell me. Please tell me the truth.
Walter turns to Bruce.
Now, look here, my good man.
You shut up, Byrne.
Now, how can I do anything
with you? You're doing all this to her. I know that. She wanted to get away from you and everything you stand for.
He's back on the phone.
Watch, you caught her and changed her mind.
Take Hitler and stick him on the funny page. Now, let me ask you, Mr.
You're
whatever your name is.
For a man like him?
No, I am not. But, Bruce, can't you see that something's happened? Wait, I'll tell you everything.
Tell him. You tell him nothing. He's a spy, you fool.
I'm not a spy. Come on, Hilly. You're coming with me right now.
Give me just a second. Can't you? Don't you see this is the biggest thing in my life?
Keep quiet, Hilly.
I see. I'll keep. I'm like something in the icebox, aren't I?
Yeah.
You just don't love
me. Oh, now that isn't true. Just because you won't listen, you say I don't love you. Now you know that isn't the point at all.
Oh, what else
have you
done?
The point is that you never intended to be decent and live like a human being.
What's that?
All right.
I'm trying to concentrate.
You're just like him and all the rest.
Sure, that's what I am.
What? No, leave the rooster story alone. That's human interest.
Did you get hold of Butch O'Connor
yet? Have you any sympathy or understanding? You don't see what I'm trying to do.
I understand, all right.
Wait, just a minute. There's only one question I want to know.
What?
Walter.
What?
The mayor's first wife. What was her name?
You mean the one with the ward on her?
Right.
Fanny. What do you say, Duffy?
Hildy, I don't think you ever loved me at all.
Bruce goes to the door.
That you're not working for the advertising department?
If you change your mind, I'm leaving on the 9 o'clock train.
He leaves.
Hold on.
Walter goes to lock the door.
Something else. I'm no suburban bridge player. I'm a newspaper man.
Stuff.
Earl lifts the top and looks out.
You can't get back in there, you mock turtle.
He closes it again as Walter returns to the phone.
Duffy, did you tell Butch and his gang to take a taxi as a matter of life and death? Good, stay on this wire. Butch is on his way over. All we gotta do is hold out for 50 15 minutes.
The boys will be back. They're coming in here to phone.
I'll handle them.
Walter goes to the windows and peers out.
Oh, now the moon's out.
He goes to the desk and smacks it. Earl smacks back.
Fine. Three taps is made. Don't forget. How you doing?
He cracks it.
Enough air?
Not very much.
He waves him at him and shuts the door.
Pretty pretty.
Then goes to Hildy.
How's it coming, honey?
Oh, all right, I guess. Where's Bruce?
Bruce? Oh, he went out.
Is he coming back yet?
Said he's coming back. Didn't you hear him? What have you got so far? Let me hear.
She reads.
While hundreds of Sheriff Hartwell's paid gunmen stalked through the city, shooting innocent bystanders, spreading their reign of terror, Earl Williams was lurking less than 20
miles. Wait a minute. Aren't you going to mention the Post? What? Doesn't the paper get any credit?
Oh, I did that right there in the second paragraph.
Well, who's going to read the second paragraph? Listen, honey, for 10 years I've been telling you how to write a newspaper story, and that's what I get.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Roy arrives outside and finds the door locked. He knocks.
What's the idea of locking this door?
Who's that?
Benzinger, that's his desk.
Open the door, will you?
Listen, what'd you say his name was?
Benzinger of the Tribune.
Tribune, huh?
Walter goes to the door. He unlocks it and opens.
Haven't you any better sense than
Roy walks in and looks up at Walter.
Hello, Mr. Burns. Well, quite an honor having you come over here.
Hello, Benzinger.
Oh, you know my... Excuse me, I just want to get my...
You know, it's quite a coincidence seeing you tonight, isn't it, Hildy?
Yes.
How do you mean?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was talking to our Mr. Duffy about you just this afternoon.
Really? Well, nothing detrimental, I hope.
On the contrary. There was one swell story you had in the paper this morning.
Oh, did you care for the poem, Mr. Burns?
The poem? Mm. The poem was great.
I like the ending especially. And all is well outside his cell, but in his heart he hears the hangman calling and the gallows falling and his white-haired mother's tears. Heartbreaking?
Uh-huh.
That's fine. Now, how'd you like to come and work for me?
What?
Hildy types.
We can use a man like you. All we got now are a lot of lowbrows like Johnson here.
Are you serious, Mr. Burns?
Serious? Wait a minute.
He picks up the phone.
Listen, Duffy. Duffy, I'm sending a Mr. Benzinger over to see you.
Benzinger?
Oh, yeah. Mervyn, isn't it?
Yeah. No. Roy. Roy V.
Certainly. Roy V. Benzinger, the poet. Well, of course you wouldn't know. You probably never heard of Shakespeare either. Now, look, I want you to put Mr. Benzinger on the staff right away. How much getting on the Tribune, Roy?
75.
I'll give you 100 in a byline. Now, you give him everything he wants, you understand? Okay. Well, look, Roy. I want you to hustle and write me a story from the point of view of the escaped man. He hides, cowering, afraid of every sound, of every light. He hears footsteps, his heart is going like that, and all the time they're closing in. Now get the sense of the animal at bay.
Sort of Jack London style?
Exactly.
I'll just get my rhyming dictionary.
It doesn't have to rhyme.
Oh, well, I'm deeply grateful, Mr. Burns.
He opens the door.
If you should have an opening for a war correspondent, I parlay a little French, you know.
I'll keep you in mind.
Au revoir, mon capitaine.
Bonjour.
Roy salutes, and so does Walter. Gets him out, locking the door.
His white-haired mother's tears. That's a stop, isn't it?
He gets the phone again.
Now listen, that fella Benzinger's on his way over to see you right now. Handle him with kid gloves. Put him to work writing poetry. No, we don't want him. Just stall him along until the extra's out, then tell him his poetry smells and kick him downstairs.
Double-crossing swine.
You said it. That'll teach him a lesson. He won't quit his paper without giving notice after
I
this.
I mean you.
Me?
You double-cross anybody. Wait a minute.
What?
Just remembered. Bruce isn't coming back here. He said he was taking the 9 o'clock train.
Oh, well, in that case, he's gone by now. Come on, honey. Don't sit there like a frozen robin. Get on with the story. We ought to have our plans all finished by the time Butch gets here.
How you have messed up my life.
He measures a window against the desk.
Oh, the window's too small. We'll have to carry the desk out of the building.
I'll be on that train
right
now.
Come on.
What a snap I am falling for you, a line. They're going to name streets after Johnson.
Yes. Well, you've had a nice rest. Now get back to
work. I'm not going back to work. Walter, what?
Who is it?
It's me, boss. It's Louis.
Louis.
They both go to the door. Walter opens, and Louis comes in disheveled.
What's the matter with you?
Where's Mrs. Baldwin?
What'd you do with
it? What happened?
You been in a fight?
Down Western Avenue, we was going 65 miles an hour, you know what I mean?
Take that mush out of your mouth.
Where's the old lady?
I'm telling you. We run smack into a police patrol, you know what I mean? We busted it in half.
Was she hurt?
Look, where is she? Tell me.
Can you imagine bumping into a load of cops? They come rolling out like oranges.
What did you do with her?
Search me. When I come to, I was running down 34th.
You were with her, weren't you?
Was I?
You were in the taxi cab.
The driver got knocked cold.
Butterfingers? I gave an old dame to take something, you hand her over to the cops.
What do you mean I handed her? The cops was on the wrong side of the street.
Now everything's fine. She's probably squawking her head off in the police station.
I don't think she's squawking much. You know what I mean?
Don't tell me. Was she killed?
Hey, was she? Did you notice?
Say, listen, me with a gun on the hip and a kidnapped old lady on my hands, I'm going to stick around asking questions from a lot of cops. You know what I mean?
Dead. Oh, this is the end.
She walks off and Walter shrugs.
Fate, Hildy. What will be, will be.
What am I going to say to Bruce?
She says.
What can I tell him?
Look, honey, if he really loves you, you won't have to tell him anything. Snap out of it. Would you rather have had the old dame dragging the whole police force in here?
I killed her. I'm responsible. What am I going to do? How can I ever face Bruce again?
Look at me, Hildy.
I am looking at you, you murderer.
Now, if it was my own grandmother, I'd carry on. You know I would for the paper.
Louis, where did it happen?
Weston and 34th.
I gotta get out of here.
We can do more here. Now, be calm.
He gets a phone.
Listen.
She runs to another phone as he answers a third.
Hello? Hello?
Maine, 4557.
Who? Well, Butch, where are you?
Hello, Mission Hospital, receiving room, please.
Well, what are you doing there? Haven't you even started?
Hello, Eddie, Hilda Johnson. Was there an old lady brought in there from the last
National? It's Sebastian, Butch. Listen, it's a matter of life and death.
Nobody?
I can't hear.
Morningside, 469.
Speak up. A what? Well, you can't stop for a day now.
Community hospital, give me the receiving room,
I don't
please.
Care if you've been after her for 6 years. Butch, our whole lives are at stake. Are you going to let a woman come between us after all we've been through?
Well, Max, Hilda Johnson, was there an old lady brought in there in an auto smash-up?
Butch, I'd put my arm in fire for you up to here. Now, you can't double-cross me.
Well, look around, will you, please?
Yes, she does. All right, put her on. I'll talk to her. Oh, good evening, madam. Now, listen, you 10-cent glamour girl. You can't keep Butch away from his duty. What's that? You say that again, I'll come over there and kick you in the teeth. Hey, what kind of language is that? Now, look here, you... She hung up. What did I say?
He gets the first phone.
Duffy! How do you like that? Mousing around with some big... Duffy!
You shut up, I'm trying to hear.
Duffy!
She turns and bends over.
Nobody?
Duffy! Well, where is Duffy?
He drops the phone.
Diabetes. I ought to know better than to hire anybody with a disease.
Well, give me Olympia. 2-1,
Louis.
He goes to Louis, cleaning up in a bathroom.
It's up to you.
Anything you say,
boy. Well, beat it up. Get hold of some guys.
Who do you want?
Anybody with hair on his chest. Get him off the street. Get him anywhere. Offer him anything, only get him. We got to get that desk out of here.
Is it important?
Is it important? Listen, Louis, you're the best friend I got.
I like you too, boy.
All right, then don't fail me. Get enough people to move that desk. Now, come on, I'm relying on you.
He opens the door.
The shirt off my back.
Okay, don't bump into anything.
He gets him out.
That dumb immigrant to flop on me as sure as you're born.
We'll try it again at the hospital. It's bound to happen.
Well, if he's not back in 5 minutes, we'll carry it out alone.
Do anything you want.
There's a million ways we can start a fire. Have the firemen take it out in the confusion.
I don't give a darn what you do.
Hey, come here. See if we can lift it.
Oh, what? Nobody? Oh, never mind.
Hildy hangs up.
You're gonna help me?
No, I'm not.
You want me to strain my back?
Yes, I'm gonna find Mrs. Baldwin.
Don't open that door.
She does, and the reporters flood in. Along with Pete.
Hey, let go. What's the idea?
What's your hurry?
Get your hands off me.
Now look here, Johnson.
Hey, you.
You mean me?
Yes, you. What do you mean by breaking in here like this?
You can't bluff me, Burns. I don't care who you are or what paper you're editing.
Look, let go of me, will
Hang
you?
Hang on to her, boys.
Oh, please. Look, fella, something's happened to my mother-in-law.
We know what's up to her, Ellie. Maybe going out to get Williams. She had the door locked.
She and Molly were in here talking.
I know where he is.
Oh, look, I don't know anything, really, and there's been an accident.
Johnson, there's something very, very peculiar going on here. Now, see here, Johnson.
Just a moment, Hartwell. If you have any accusations to make, make them in the proper manner. Otherwise, I'll have to ask you to get out.
You'll ask me to what?
Get out.
Oh, you will, eh? You keep that door closed and don't let anybody in or out. Now, we'll see about this.
Come on, Pinky. Give him the third degree.
Yeah.
Now, I'm talking. You got Williams, Pinky.
Yes. Now, look here, Johnson. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Are you going to talk or aren't you?
Well, what do you want me to say?
What do you know about Williams?
What do you know about Williams?
Now, we're getting... All right, boys, take her out of here. I've got ways of making her talk.
When she struggles against them, the gun falls on the floor.
Grab it!
She grabs it and tosses it to Walter.
All right, Burns. I'll take that gun.
He gives it to Pete.
Where did you get this gun?
I've got a right to carry a gun if I want to.
Not this gun.
I can explain that, Hartwell. When Hildy told me she was going to interview Earl Williams, I thought it would be dangerous, so I gave her a gun to defend herself.
Oh, you did? Well, that's very interesting. But this happens to be the gun that Williams used to shoot his way out with.
Why? Good man, are you trying to make me out a liar?
I ought to know my own gun, oughtn't I?
So Williams got the gun.
Hildy got it from Williams. Where is Earl Williams? Where have you got him?
You're barking up the wrong tree, Hartwell.
I'll give you 3 minutes to tell me where he is.
He went over to the hospital to call on Professor Egelhofer.
What?
With a bag of marshmallows.
Where is he? Ask the mastermind what he's doing here.
Speak up.
He turns to Walter.
Speak up. What do you know about this?
My dear fellow.
Where is he?
The Morning Post does not obstruct justice or hide criminals.
You ought to know that.
Johnson, you're under arrest.
What?
And you too, Burns.
Who's under arrest? Listen, you insignificant, square-toed, pimple-headed spy. Do you realize what you're doing?
I'll show you what I'm doing. Burns, you're obstructing justice, and so is the Morning Post. And I'm going to see that you're fined $10,000.
You'll see nothing of the kind.
And I'm going to begin by impounding the Post property. Is this your desk?
No.
Yes. What are you afraid of, Hildy? I dare you to move this desk out of here.
Oh, you do?
Yes, go ahead and try it.
All right, I will.
Now, I'm warning you. You move this desk out of this building, and I'll put you behind bars.
He can do it, too.
Is that so?
Yes.
I'll see the Roosevelt. Hears about it.
All right, tell him. Come on, boys. Confiscate this desk.
This is your last chance. This is a federal offense, and you fellas will be accessory.
We'll take a chance on that. Go ahead, boys.
All right.
Open up this door.
Two policemen enter with Bruce's mother, disheveled.
Mother, I am glad to see. Are you all right? I've been
That's the man that did it, right there.
She points at Walter, who looks behind him.
What's the idea here?
This lady claims she's been kidnapped.
What?
They dragged me all the way down the stairs and put me
in Just a minute. Did this man have anything to do with it?
Why, he was in charge of the whole thing. He told them to kidnap me.
Excuse me, madam. Are you referring to me?
Well, you know you did.
What about this, Burns? Kidnapping, huh?
Oh, trying to frame me, huh? I never saw this woman before in my life.
Why, What a thing to say. I was standing right here when that girl jumped out of the window.
Call the mayor. Get him over here right away.
Now, look here, madam. Be honest. If you were out joyriding, plastered, or got into some scrape, why don't you admit it instead of accusing innocent people?
You ruffian. How dare you talk like that to me?
Just a little crazy, Mother.
And I can tell you something more.
Yes?
I can tell you why they did it.
Yeah?
They had some kind of a murderer in here, and they were hiding.
Hiding it? Right
here.
In here.
Madam, you're a cockeyed liar, and you know it.
Earl hits back.
What was that?
He's in there.
The guys go to the phones and Pete aims the gun.
Stand back, everybody.
He's not even a gun.
Get your guns out.
He's harmless.
Don't take any chances. Shoot right through the desk.
He can't hurt anybody. You've got his gun.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Go on, you gray-haired old weasel.
Let me out.
Bruce's mother hurries away. Right to her son.
Oh,
a policeman shuts them out in the hall.
Hang on.
Everybody call Duffy.
No, you don't.
You want to see a scoop?
In a minute.
Now, everybody.
Hold the wire.
Aim right at the center.
That's murder.
All right, Carl, Frank, one of you get on each end of the desk.
Something coming up.
We got you covered, Williams.
Have it in a minute.
Don't try to move.
Any time now.
I'll count three.
It's hot.
One.
Ready for an emergency.
Two.
Any second now.
Three, up with it.
The desk is opened.
I got you, Williams.
Go ahead, shoot me.
Come on, Mayor.
Earl Williams just captured him in the press room in the criminal courts building, hiding in a desk.
Come on your feet.
Weak. Earl is helped out and walked across the room.
He was unconscious when they opened the desk.
Williams put up a desperate struggle, but the police overpowered him.
He offered no resistance.
He tried to shoot out with the cops, but his gun was...
He's taken away.
All court and the police. Duffy, the morning post.
Give me that.
Turn Williams over to the sheriff.
He takes the phone and hangs up.
More later.
Anonymous note received by the sheriff led to Williams' capture. Hold on.
Walter and Hilda are handcuffed together.
Mysterious telephone call which came where Williams hiding from.
Hey, where's the old lady?
Where'd she go?
She went out. Come back. Come back.
The guys run out, and Pete shuts the door. Rubbing his hands, he returns to Walter and Hildy, then sits and gets a phone.
Hello, Gary. Give me the warden's office, quick.
Well, you're going to wish you'd never been born.
Oh, am I?
The mayor walks in.
Hello, Fred.
Well, fine work, Pete. You certainly delivered the goods. I'm proud of you.
Look kind of natural, don't you?
Sight for sore eyes.
Aiding an escaped criminal and a little charge of kidnapping.
What's that?
To me.
Well, that's the jail. There must be somebody there.
Well, looks like about 10 years apiece for you two birds.
Does it?
Whenever you think you've got the Morning Post licked, it's time for you to get out of town.
Whistling in the dark. Well, that isn't going to help you this time. You're through.
Listen, the last man who said that to me was Archie Leach just a week before he cut his throat.
That's so.
That's so.
We've been in worse jams than this, haven't we, Hilday?
Nope.
You forget the power that always watches over the Morning Post, my lord.
Luck's not with you now.
Hello, this is Hartwell.
Says you.
I've caught him. Yes, Williams. Single-handed. Oh. We'll proceed to the hanging per schedule.
You're going to be in office exactly 2 days more.
And we're going to start pulling your nose out of that
beanbag. I'll tell you what you'll be doing.
What?
You'll be...
Oh, go on, make a bit more.
Making rooms in the state penitentiary. Hello, Joe. This is Hartwell. I want you to come over to my office right away. Yes, I just captured a couple of important birds.
Walter grabs a phone with one hand.
Duffy, get Leibowitz.
Hey, all the lawyers in the world aren't going to help you now.
Listen, you're talking to the Morning Post.
With an open umbrella and the reprieve, Pettibone approaches.
There's a bigger man.
The umbrella gets caught in the doorway. So he closes it.
President, king.
Here's a reprieve.
No, say, you... Say, get out of here.
Oh, you can't bribe me. My wife...
Get out of here, you.
Oh, no, I won't. Here's the reprieve.
What?
I don't want to be a city sealer.
Who is
my wife?
Man?
Throw him out, Frank.
All right, out you go.
Wait, just a minute. Wait a minute. Who's trying to bribe you?
They wouldn't take this.
He's insane.
What did I tell you? An unseen power.
What do you mean by coming in here with a cop?
Walter and Hildy read the reprieve.
He's an imposter.
Arrest him.
Come on. Just a minute. Trying to hang an innocent man to win an election, eh?
That's murder.
That's a lie.
Never saw him before.
Well, if I was to tell my wife...
What's your name?
Pettibone. Joe Pettibone.
When did you deliver this first, Mr. Pettibone?
Who'd you talk to?
They started right in bribing me.
Who's they?
Those. Them.
That's absurd on the face of it. Walter is talking like a child.
Yeah, out of the mouths of babes.
Hi, babe.
He's insane, drunk or something. Why, if this unfortunate man, Williams, has really been reprieved, I'm personally tickled to death, aren't you, Pete?
Oh, yeah. Go on. You'd hang your own mother to be reelected.
That's a horrible thing to say about anybody, Miss Johnson.
Oh, your mother's taking...
He gives the reprieve to the mayor.
You're an intelligent man.
Never mind that. Yeah. Now, let's have your story, Mr. Pettibone.
Well, 19 years ago, I married Mrs. Pettibone.
Skip all that.
Well, she wasn't Mrs. Pettibone
no,
then.
No, no,
she was
no.
one of the Jones...
Girls. Sheriff? This document is authentic, and Earl Williams has been reprieved. And our commonwealth has been saved the painful necessity of shedding blood.
You said it. Now get off the soapbox.
That's
save that
awful.
For the tribute.
Pete, take those handcuffs off,
my
friend.
I'm just going.
I'm amazed that you're doing a thing like
Isn't
that.
Isn't he awful?
Walter, you don't know how badly I feel.
No.
No excuse at all for Pete to fly off the handle.
I was only doing my duty, nothing personal.
The handcuffs are off.
All right,
what'd you say your name was?
Pettibone, wasn't it? Yes. Here's a picture of my wife.
Yeah, a fine-looking woman.
You haven't seen her yet.
Yeah, well, she's all right. All
oh,
right.
Well, she's good enough for me. Yeah. If I was to tell my wife...
I understand perfectly, Mr. Pettibone. And as long as I'm mayor,
why... It ought to be about 3 more hours, I'd say.
That's long enough for us to get out a special edition asking for your... your recall.
And your arrest. You know, you little boys ought to get about 10 years apiece, I think.
Yep.
Don't make any hasty decisions, Mr. Burns. You might run into a thumping big libel suit.
You're going to run into the governor.
Why, my old friend the governor and I understand each other perfectly.
Yes, and so do I.
So do you what, you hoodoo? And now, Mr. Pettibone, if you'll come along with us, we'll take you over to the warden's office and deliver this reprieve. Come along, Pete.
Vows to tell my wife.
You won't have to.
The mayor and Pete leave with Pettibone and an officer.
Wait till those two future jailbirds read the Morning Post tomorrow.
Tight squeeze,
on the phone.
Give me Duffy.
That's the worst jam we've been in a long time.
Yeah. What? Well, where is he? Get him.
Remember the time we stole old Lady Haggerty's stomach off the coroner's physician?
Isn't that marvelous? Any time you need this guy, he's never there.
We proved she'd been poisoned, though, didn't we, Walter?
Yeah.
We had to hide out for a week. Do you remember that? Shawm Hotel, that's where, I mean, how we...
Yeah, we could have gone to jail for that, too, you know that. Yes, maybe you're right, Hildy. It's a bad business. Well, you're going to be better off. So you better get going.
Where'll I go?
Well, to Bruce, of course.
But you know he's gone. He took the 9 o'clock...
Just send him a wire. He'll be waiting at the station when you get into Albany. Now, go on. What? Look, why doesn't that guy have a phone put in there?
Walter, maybe...
Get going, Hildy.
Get going, kick him. What is that with you?
Wait a minute.
He puts the phone down.
Now, look, honey, can't you understand? I'm trying to do something noble for once in my life. Now, get out of here before I change my mind. Come on.
Walter.
This is tough enough.
He gives her her hat, purse, and coat.
Send the fellow a wire. He'll be waiting when you get in. Come on.
Who'll write the story?
I'll do it myself. Won't be half as good as you can do it, but what's the difference?
It's my story.
He picks up the phone again.
Oh, at last, Duffy.
Oh, I get it, Walter. The same old act, isn't it? Try to push me out of here thinking I'll be stupid enough to want to stay.
No, I know I deserve that, Hildy. Wait a minute, Duffy.
He puts it down again.
But this is one time you're wrong. Look, honey, when you walk out that door, part of me will go right with you. But a whole new world's going to open up for you. I made fun of Bruce and Albany and all that kind of thing. You know why?
Why?
I was jealous. I was sore because he could offer you the kind of life I can't give you.
Well,
that's what you want, honey.
I could stay and do the story and take the train in the morning.
It
doesn't make that much difference.
Come on.
He takes her shoulders.
Goodbye, dear, and good luck.
They kiss. Then he turns her around and picks up the phone.
Oh, Duffy. Hello, now this is how it goes so far. Oh, just a minute.
As she starts off, he gets another phone.
Hello? Who? Hildy Johnson? No, she just left.
I'm still here.
She hurries back.
Hang on a minute.
He sets it down for her as she sits.
Hildy Johnson speaking.
Walter gets his phone.
The 4th Precinct Police Station. Well, put him on. Bruce, I thought you were on your way to Albany. What for?
For having counterfeit money.
Counterfeit money?
Hold on a minute, Duffy.
He puts down the phone.
Well, where did you get it? I gave it to you.
Walter steps away.
Oh, all right, I'll try and do something about it.
She hangs up slowly, starting to cry. At the door, Walter looks back at her. Grimacing, he returns. Her head's down on the table.
Oh, honey. Honey, don't cry, please. Oh, come on, I didn't mean to make you cry, honey. What's the matter with you? You never cried before.
I thought you were really sending me away with Bruce.
She raises her head.
I didn't know you had him locked up. I thought you were on the level pool once. I thought you were just standing by and letting me go off with him and not doing a thing about it.
Oh, come on, honey. What do you think I was, a chump?
And I thought you didn't love me.
Oh, what were you thinking with?
I don't know.
She looks up at him.
Well, what is Danny there gawking for? We have to get him out of jail. Set Louis down with some honest money and send him back to Albany where he belongs.
Sure.
He gets his phone.
Duffy, everything's changed. Tell Louis to stand by. We're coming over the office. No, don't worry about the story. Hildy's going to write it.
She nods and stands.
Of course, she's not quitting. She never intended to. We're going to get married.
Oh, can we go on a honeymoon this time,
Walter? Sure. Hey, Duffy, you can be managing editor. No, not permanently. Just for the 2 weeks we're away on the honeymoon.
What?
I don't know where we're going. Where are we going?
Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls, Duffy.
2 whole weeks, Walter.
Sure, you've earned it. But, what? Strike? What strike? Where? Albany? Well, I know it's on the way, Duffy, but
all
I can't
right,
ask
we'll
Hildy to...
honeymoon in Albany.
Yeah, okay, Duffy.
He hangs up.
Well, isn't that a coincidence? We're going to Albany. I wonder if Bruce can put us up. Say,
they leave, with Hildy carrying her suitcase. The end. This described version of His Girl Friday was created for Movies for the Blind. The players: Walter Burns, Cary Grant, Hildy Johnson, Rosalind Russell, Bruce Baldwin, Ralph Bellamy, Sheriff Hartwell, Gene Lockhart, Murphy, Porter Hall, Bensinger, Ernest Truex, Endicott, Cliff Edwards. Mayor, Clarence Kolb. Earl Williams, John Quaylen. Molly Malloy, Helen Mack. And that was His Girl Friday. Hildy and Walter are off to become bride and groom again, we think, but in real life, Cary Grant was best man for Rosalind Russell. Producer Frederick Brisson was staying with his friend Grant during filming and told him he'd had a thing for his co-star since seeing her in the film The Women. Grant started asking her, "Have you met Freddie Brisson?" every morning on the set, and eventually turned up on her doorstep with Brisson at his side. Eventually, the two got married, with Grant as best man, and stayed married for 35 years until Russell's death in 1976. And that's it. I'm off to keep doing audio description for pay and to learn how to do it for YouTube video as part of a program called You Describe. Go look it up. It's awesome. Some fantastic volunteers doing great description right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who has supported this podcast, commenting, hosting files, talking about it, subscribing, but especially listening. Huge thanks to the Internet Archive, both those who run it and those who contribute the films, which I used as my source material for every single episode. Please visit them and donate at archive.org. My thanks also to everyone who fights the good fight for the public domain, for fair copyright legislation, and accessibility to information for everyone, regardless of limitations of sight, hearing, mobility, money, or geography. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, the podcast isn't actually ending, but repeating. If you're hearing this soon after being recorded, we start back with episode 1 on January 25th, and the episodes will keep coming on time by the end of every Sunday, Toronto time. Fingers crossed. And with those episodes will come our new newsletter with more about the classic movies and TV shows and more about audio description and audio drama. You can sign up through the blog. It's sticking around at moviesfortheblind.com, which has info on all the episodes and beyond. You're welcome to subscribe to the podcast on Stitcher and iTunes, where you can make nice comments and share it with your friends and enemies. We're still on Twitter at moviesfortheblind with the number 4 in it. And we're still on Facebook, although we're starting a newsletter because Facebook, frankly, isn't good enough to reach you anymore. And when there are chances, I'll still be posting described video of the shows on our YouTube channel, so subscribe to see how it's done. Thank you so much again. I'll be back 7 years younger next time. Please take care.